Hello, welcome to the Longshot Leaders Podcast. I'm Michael Stein. My guest today is JJ Yosh. Back in college, JJ discovered his love for nature on his first backpacking trip and quickly saw that exploring our Earth was the key to helping the world. Since that time, JJ has led countless of groups of people all over the world to explore some of the most beautiful places on Earth. JJ has hosted shows on Discovery, TLC, The Taste Made Networks. I never heard of that one, but that sounds pretty cool. He's produced, directed, written, and starred in a full feature-length film called Ancient Tomorrow. He's been in countless commercials, and he continues to grow. Really interesting story. Here is JJ Yosh.
Got questions already. I'm here with JJ Yosh. Let's get into the name, but what's your background? What kind of name is Yosh?
Yeah, so my name is, my last name is actually Yoshihara. And I got so tired of spelling my last name out that I pretty much just cut it to Yosh. And when I was in school growing up, people would call me Yoshi. And during that time, like Yoshi the dinosaur was really popular in Mario Kart. So I took on Yosh about 15 years ago now, and it rings, JJ Yosh. So yeah, that's, but the actual surname is Japanese. That's kind of the ethnicity background.
And that's cool.
Dad is Japanese. Yeah.
I'm like a namesmith. That's a strong name. I like that, you know? So I was in my acting class one time. I asked my acting teacher, I said, my name's Michael Stein. It's not like Pacino or De Niro. He goes, what's wrong with Stein? That was my name before I changed it. I was like, really? He's joking with me. All right. So let's get into it, man. So where were you born? You're from California?
Yeah, I was born in San Jose, California. Not my favorite place. That's why as soon as I was 18, I got the hell out of there and moved down to Southern California. But yeah, I'm from San Jose, born and raised.
You know, you still look really young. So probably when you were born, San Jose, because I remember San Jose before the .com boom, when you were growing up there. I mean, that's what it was like, just starting to grow and boom and turn into like this big Silicon Valley part of it, right?
Yeah, I was there in Silicon Valley when the whole .com was going on, and way before that too. So yeah, I remember when Y2K was coming around. That was like such a huge deal for people because we thought it was going to be the end of the world, you know, so many ends of the world time periods. Right. But yeah, I remember that Y2K, just it's a huge deal in the Silicon Valley since everything was like startup, these, you know, computer startup companies.
There's that old restaurant in San Jose. It's the oldest restaurant in San Jose. It's a big giant like restaurant there on Main Street or something. Steak place or something. I don't know.
You know, for a moment I remembered it in my mind and then I lost it.
So how old were you when you moved?
When I moved where?
From San Jose down to Southern California.
I was 18. Yeah. I mean, as soon as I graduated high school, I found a college that was not going to be near there. And then I was just set never to come back.
Were you always into the outdoors back then?
You know, growing up, I wasn't necessarily in the outdoors because my family didn't raise me that way. They were more about going to all the baseball games and football games. So, you know, I went to like pretty much every Giants and A's game and Niners game during that time. And that's kind of what we did growing up. So I didn't really get exposed to the outdoor adventures like I do now. And the times that I would go in the outdoors was when we went to my house, when we went to my parents' house in Tahoe, and there was like a creek nearby. And then I would, you know, go and explore the creek, but that was as much as I knew about the outdoors. So it wasn't until I got to college that I really got to develop my love and passion for outdoor adventures. And yeah, so, but up until that point, yeah, I didn't really know about it. I wish I would have. It would have changed my life way sooner. But you know, everything has its time in life.
Right, right. What was the inciting incident that made you just kind of like, you know, say, oh my God, this is like something I've never known about and I want to get into?
You know, I look at the I look at points of my life, not necessarily as like there was this turning point moment, but rather these small like pivots. And so there were a combination of a bunch of various stepping stones that took me to where I'm at now. And in college, I went to UC Santa Barbara. And first of all, that school has like the most beautiful campus and location. I mean, you couldn't pick a better place to have a college. I mean, we were on a peninsula surrounded by water on pretty much every side. And all of the houses that we got to live in had all ocean views. And I mean, it was just the most idealistic school that you could go to. And so I was already set up for this sort of outdoor adventure mindset just by where we were going to school. And we had the mountains right in our backdrop and then the ocean right there. So it was just a perfect playground for outdoor adventure. And so when I got to UCSB, I found a lot of people there wanted to go on hikes and kayaking and just doing all these different outdoor activities. And I eventually started my own outdoors club when I was at that school. And so it kind of just all snowballed into this just love affair for the outdoors.
What was that club called?
The Excursion Club. Yeah. And that was, you know, when I think back to college, it wasn't really the school. It wasn't like the classes. That's not what I really remember from college. It's really the Excursion Club. That was really the most important part of my college experience. Yeah, I could care less about classes and all that. You know, the majority of what I learned and what my career is now today was from the Excursion Club. That's kind of what set the entire tone for the rest of my life.
What was your major in college?
My major in college was chemical engineering. And I had pretty intentional reasons for choosing that one, besides it being the most difficult major in the school, you know, but yeah, it was not a fun major. I don't regret it because it definitely challenged me and taught me how to get out of impossible situations. And it really just taught me problem solving, which is one of the most important skills that you can possibly have in life. So, but I don't really necessarily utilize it today. You know,
right. What did your mom and dad do for a living?
My mom and dad, they are real estate and mortgage. So they still do that today. So, which at the time, I didn't really appreciate any of what they did because I was not interested in real estate or, you know, house loans at all. Now that I'm like renovating my own house now, and I, you know, bought a house a couple of years ago and then I bought another one last year, I'm definitely have like a whole new sense of appreciation for what they do. But yeah, I had no interest back then. So we were so different in terms of like what we were just kind of like geared towards.
Watch the video. I mean, this pad is sick. It's like you got the mountains in the back, you know, and then it's got this amazing like wall formation inside the house, lots of glass, like natural looking wood. Great touch. You designed that place?
I didn't design it. I'm renovating it now, but you know, it's like, if you're going to live in Boulder, Colorado, you got to have a boulder in your house. And, and so when I saw this house, I think I saw it on Zillow 4 years ago. I mean, it was like, I have to get it. I mean, there was, of course it was like way out of my price range at the time, but you know, like when you really want something, you're going to find a way to make it work. And that's exactly what I did. And then, you know, now having the house now, I just see so much potential in it. And one of the early motivations for doing chemical engineering was because I wanted to build infrastructures that were more in harmony with the earth and natural surroundings. And so that was like the entire reason why I did chemical engineering. And so now I'm doing that with my house, because since my house is built on a rock, it already lends itself to kind of the natural environment. And so now I'm like kind of building this sort of house that almost blends with the surroundings. And when you're inside, you feel like you're outside. And so, yeah. So, I mean, in a way, I'm kind of going full circle with what I was initially trying to do, which is kind of cool.
All right. So let's go back to the adventure club, right?
Yeah. The excursion. Yeah. Yeah.
The excursion club, excursion. How does that grow into your next step that you know, when you get out of college?
Oh yeah. So the excursion club definitely, as I was saying before, set the tone for the rest of my life, because it was this platform that I now had to take people into the outdoors, have them experience these kind of awakening moments that I had experienced in college. Because before going to UCSB and before the excursion club, I didn't really have any exposure to these outdoor adventures. So it was kind of my way to be able to help others go on a similar path that I had in awakening to the outdoors. And I wanted to really do this on a bigger scale. So I got just really obsessed with just recruiting and in the excursion club. And early on in my life, like, I was really into film and editing. So I started editing film and video like when I was 13. And so I used those early skills to make these promo videos in when I was running the excursion club. And so I would make these mini kind of commercials, and then I would blast them out on the campus to recruit people to come to the club. And that's how I built it to be one of the biggest clubs at the school at the time, because I was like just creating these crazy promos with video. And so the whole like video element came into play a lot stronger when I was running excursion club, because we would be filming all of our outdoor activities. And then I would be using that footage to then like further promote it. So that's kind of how like the whole media like started to weave itself into this adventure angle. And, you know, now that I've obviously flashing forward today, it's just kind of taken off into what it is now. So, yeah.
What year was this when you started doing this at the excursion club?
This was in 2003. So 20 years ago now, actually 20 years ago.
Dude, you look like you could be in college now. You look young.
Oh, thanks.
That's a gift. Yeah. Keep that up. So, how do you segue into what you did today? Like, how does that, because you monetized it, you know, you've grown this following. It's huge. I mean, it's amazing, you know, footage and the pictures and everything, you know, like, how does that, you know, for people like, that's rarefied for a lot of people who are sitting in their car right now, like driving, yeah. You know, like going, dude, I want to do that. You know, so like, how did that progress?
Well, as one of my mentors says to me, rinse and repeat. And that's kind of what I did I just kept doing the same sort of thing over and over and over again. And, you know, when I first started doing this in the excursion club 20 years ago, if you look at my videos then, I mean, I do watch them occasionally just to see where I was. Cause a lot of times you get so stuck in the day to day that you don't really see the progress you're making. And so you've got to go back and watch things from the past to really see, to really feel that progress. And it's very motivating when you can go back like that, you know. But early on when I was doing it for the excursion club, I mean, it was very amateur, but my mind wanted it to be so much bigger. Cause I was a child of like the 80s and the 90s. And I was very much into Steven Spielberg's movies. I mean, he was definitely like an inspiration in terms of like kind of like the sort of videos that I want to make. And so, you know, like from the Goonies to E.T. to Jurassic Park, that's kind of like set another major tone for me in terms of filmmaking, of like what kind of adventures I want to create and create these sort of visceral experiences that people can go on either in person or virtually. And so with the whole excursion club, it was kind of like, okay, well, how do we get people to experience the outdoors if they can't necessarily experience them with us in person? So after I graduated college, I wanted to kind of pursue this. And so that was where the whole media angle came into play and figuring out how to, you know, document our adventures, but make them in a way where people that are not necessarily there physically can also experience them fully. And so, pretty much right when I graduated, I started a production company called Higher Earth Entertainment, which is the one that I'm currently running now. And we just started to do small expeditions, like to various locations within the US, where we would do like backpacking trips or mountaineering trips. And then we would like document this whole video. And then that was kind of like my first sort of step into the documentary space, and then trying to get sponsorships to join on our different journeys and expeditions. So back then, I mean, we're talking 2006, 2007, that's the year now we're in. There was no social media. I mean, YouTube was very early in its stages. Facebook was very young at that point. So no one really had social media back then. And so when I was pitching companies for sponsorships, and another thing too, I had no following then. So I was primarily pitching people on just my passion for the project I was about to do. One of the first ones was like going from Death Valley to Denali in Alaska. And it was like, we're doing this North American sustainable journey. And so I was just like pitching people on just like, this is going to be amazing. We're going to travel totally sustainably, you know, from our food to the clothes that we're wearing, to the gear that we're using. It's all going to be eco-friendly. And during that time, there was like this whole Go Green movement. I think Leonardo DiCaprio and Al Gore were releasing these documentaries, which kind of caused this like Go Green, like everything. It was very trendy then. So I was riding on that same sort of momentum, pitching to these companies, and I was able to actually get companies to trust me and join on these expeditions. So that was how it first started.
That's an exciting, like, salad year kind of moment, man. Because it's before like a wave of like other tools came along, you know, and you just rode that wave, you know, so nicely, you know, and you were able to get like, there's some channels that you hooked up with too, right?
Yeah. Well, then we were trying to get it on channels. We weren't successful at that. And that's the thing about whenever you're pursuing anything, you can't expect that you'll get your dreams to come true right away. But like, I mean, the reality is they're not necessarily going to happen right away. And at least in my case, like there were a lot of failures and rejections, you know, at first. I mean, I guess if you want to have another positive word for it, I guess mishaps, I don't know. But we were able to, we got the footage that we needed to get, excuse me. You know, the way that I kind of the deliverables back then, which is what I would promise the brands, was like, we'll give you photos and like raw photos and video footage that they can use for their own use. But again, you got to remember, like back then I had no film experience. And so like the quality of the footage that I was capturing was so bad, but you know, I believed in the project. I believed in myself. And that was how these brands, you know, I think they were excited because I was excited, and they probably knew the footage wasn't that great, but you know, it was organic and it was authentic and real, which we're seeing that a huge change now with this new generation, because with TikTok and everything, it's like, it's all about like more real, authentic content, where it wasn't at that point. You know, at that point, it was still like this high quality sort of thing.
So that is so interesting. Yeah. Cause everything back then was polished, you know, and I was like, now it's like this real nitty gritty, like I'm there kind of feel.
Yeah.
People want now, but also, I mean, Denali, that's a rare area. That's like not a lot of people get to go there and shoot there, especially back then, you know. Oh, yeah. So they were probably really happy to get that footage out. And you being a young, even the people, how many people did you go with to do that?
So this was like a disastrous trip, but it was a huge, huge milestone learning point. I found people off of Craigslist actually at the time. And I did like this whole sort of video audition process that everyone had to do. It's just crazy to think when I think back of like the whole process that we went through then, but yeah, I was able to find three other people to go with me. We definitely grew together on this journey because it was 2 months that we were on the road and we drove from Death Valley all the way up to Alaska, going through the Yukon and Alberta and British Columbia. And it is a really far drive. So far.
And how long did it take you to go from Death Valley to Alaska?
I think it was over a week of driving to get from Death Valley to the northern or to the middle part of Alaska. And yeah, and with people you don't even know, because I didn't know these people that I had just met offline.
Wait, and the three people that you went with?
There was four of us total.
You didn't know anybody prior to it? You went, that's a lot of guts.
Well, yeah. And you know, you got to think too, during 2007, I mean, it's still kind of early on when people are meeting people offline, you know? So, but you know, I was a young kid and I was like, whatever. I was a risk taker, huge risk taker. So I just went with it.
I was in my early 20s. I wrote and directed and produced a documentary on the history of raves and house music. And I went across America for 4 months, driving around all, you know, kind of in the United States and Canada. And I had a DJ that I knew in San Francisco, but we had to ship somebody back, the third person, because like we weren't getting along. There was like a casualty. Did you have a casualty? Or you guys really had to got along?
I mean, no one actually physically died, not on this trip.
No, nobody died, but like we weren't getting along. So I was like, dude.
Oh, yeah.
We
did it. I mean, we were kind of there for the long haul. I mean, there were definitely moments where we fought, you know, of course, but we got through it. So yeah.
That's pretty cool though. I mean, you know, what else were you going to do? How else were you going to do that? Looking back, that's genius. You know, you go and put an ad in Craigslist, get the people, you know,
yeah.
I mean, what were your choices?
I mean, I don't know. I can't even remember what else that was out there during that time, like for placing ads, but yeah, you know, Craigslist was very popular at that point. And now it doesn't, you don't use it as much.
No. You might get marketplace on Facebook or something. I don't know. Yeah. So now where are you at today? Like, what would you say? Like, you know, if you rattled off like everything that you've got going on right now, what are some of those milestones?
Yeah. So zooming all the way to today now, of course, I have our Instagram channel, our TikTok channel, which is flourishing, and it's providing a lot of branded endorsement opportunities to make content for various brands. And now we're, you know, making video content that is polished and high quality, which is kind of interesting because I know that's not necessarily what's trending, so to speak, but it is. It's always been kind of a lifelong dream to make this really high quality, polished sort of material. So now we're doing that. We're getting paid by brands to actively make these videos, not just for online consumption like Instagram and TikTok, but also broadcast as well. We also do make commercials for broadcast. And we're also now making many web series. We just got picked up by one brand to do a web series, which is like episodic. So it's the show that we're doing right now. It's like imagine Scooby-Doo meets Tron. So Scooby-Doo being my cat Simon, and he has a whole mystery crew, investigation crew, where we're trying to solve these mysteries. And we have this slot machine game that gives us, as we're playing it, it unlocks different clues, which takes us to the next adventure. So that's what the show is that we're doing now, which is taking up a lot of time, really fulfilling though to make this. And we just aired the last episode last week, our first episode last week. So we have, many more to come. So that's kind of like zooming forward now. I have a whole team. We're, we're working to create this content, and we're just getting more and more opportunities to create better and better and a more amazing stuff out there. So yeah, so it is paying off. I'm definitely not at the goal line yet. There's still so many higher peaks that I want to climb. But again, like I said, if you look back at you know, 20 years ago and you compare, huge, huge difference.
What do you spend most of your time doing? Is it the social, you know, is it that marketing, advertising? I mean, filming is one thing, but you know, is it editing or like, what do you find yourself, you know, what burns up most of your time?
I would say the majority of my time is admin. You know, like there's just a lot of processing. I mean, you got to, with the videos that you're making, there's first of all, negotiating the deals, which I work with my manager to negotiate the deals. And then there's just a lot of like bookkeeping to keep everything organized. I mean, you really got to have a strong foundation with whatever you're going to do. And so the bigger your empire is, the stronger that your foundation needs to be, and the more maintenance and upkeep on the foundation. So I do spend a lot of time just on the computer doing all the bookkeeping to keep this empire afloat. And screenwriting, I do a lot of screenwriting because we have to write all our videos and just kind of scheduling and setting up our shoots. The actual time that it takes to shoot and edit is a lot smaller compared to you know, just the admin that I, yeah.
And the preparation of the shoot. Yeah. I mean, that the more you prepare, the better off you'll be for
exactly.
That's however it goes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
30,000 foot view. I mean, I always ask everybody this, but you know, curious, you know, so young still, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, you plan that far ahead? What do you plan for that? What do you want, or what are you planning ahead?
I really, you know, I am a huge planner. But recently, because I don't want to necessarily get any older, I just want to live right now, that I'm not trying to see 5 or 10 years in the future. I do have like sort of like where I want to go moving forward. I'm very much in the moment though, right now. At least for this year, my goals are to get this web series that we're doing really off the ground, really put all my passion into it and creativity, and make this the dream that I've always wanted to create, which is creating this sort of Spielberg adventure series where my cat is kind of like has this like comedic angle to it, and he's actively a part of it. So I really just want to focus on this series and make it the best that it can possibly be, because that's very much what I've always wanted to do with multimedia. And also with my production team that I have now, my social media team, I really want to just keep expanding and scaling up our team in terms of the types of projects that we can take on, that they don't necessarily have to have me involved in them. You know, we can have other talent involved, and we can do just more projects. So I really want to, just as a business owner, work on scaling up. So that's a huge, huge goal of mine as well. And then with my renovation project in my house here, I want to make this just one of an example of how to build with the earth, and use this house as just kind of like a role model sort of to be able to do that. So those are kind of the three legs of my business right now that I'm really, you know, going for.
You're poised to do it, man. I mean, like you know, just hearing you talk about how you prepare and how you know, keep your books and how you keep your files and all that. You would think that something mundane like that really doesn't play a part as much as it does, but it does.
Yeah. You
know? And also, I mean, your numbers on social are staggering. You know, so you have all the right elements. You have a good, you know, head on your shoulders. But what's the biggest needle mover for you as far as like, you know, growth and, you know, as far as social is concerned?
Well, I think when it comes to growing your socials, you always have to be cutting edge. And there's a lot of analyzation in the data. And this just goes back to bookkeeping again, because if you want to scale up, you have to be super strategic, and you've got to analyze all of the past data. And another thing that my company does is we also do social media growth and consulting for a lot of other influencers and a lot of other brands. So I actually do coaching for brands and influencers to help them build their content up. And with that is developing tools so that they can, so you basically have a model that and a formula that other people can follow so that they can experience the same amount of success. So it's really just kind of creating these tools in formula that they'll be able to utilize. And in order to create that, you have to analyze the data and really just hone in on everything that's kind of happened. So that again goes all back to just the bookkeeping and organization. And so that's why I spend so much money, or not so much money, so much time doing that. I mean, actually money probably too, right. On my advertising. And that actually goes back to my chemical engineering, because if I didn't have that background, I wouldn't have that engineering linear type of mind where I can analyze the data and do a lot of growth hacking. So yeah, that's what I would say is kind of the key right now in terms of how I'm going to grow my accounts and grow my career and grow the projects that we're doing.
I love it, man. JJ Yosh, you know what's really cool about it, best of all, is that you've become like, you put everything in your own hands, an individual, you know, true entrepreneurship, to where you're like, you just controlled your own destiny, you know, and it's like you're no one's a one man army, but you know, you created a nice, you know, form of destiny for yourself. I just love it. Please tell everybody how they can find out more about your massive, you know, you go there, the numbers are staggering. It's also gorgeous too. You're going to enjoy, you know, but please tell everybody, you know, all your handles and everything.
Of course. Yeah. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok and everything with JJ Yosh or Backpacking Kitty. Backpacking Kitty is our bigger platform on TikTok, and that's pretty much, you know, pretty easy to find me on any of those platforms.
Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me on here.
Pleasure.
That was World Explorer and Expedition Leader JJ Yosh. Got the perfect little quote for him too. Good planning is important. I've also regarded a sense of humor as one of the most important things on a big expedition. When you're in a difficult or dangerous situation, or when you're depressed about the chances of success, someone who can make you laugh eases the tension. Edmund Hillary. Thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hanging out with you all on the next episode. All right, have you guys been to longshotleaders.com? That's where you can check out all of the guests and the bios and the backgrounds and more. Also, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what we do, give us a good rating. Tell your family and friends to come by and listen. It's going to make you feel nice and toasty inside. Every week, we'll be delivering knowledge, creativity, inspiration, exasperation, perspiration. If it ends with a shun, basically, you're going to find it here. All right, thank you for joining us. And in the great words of Bill Murray in the movie Caddyshack, friends for life, I say.